We'll look at Acts chapter 5 in just a moment. But I want to talk to you this morning about what is in this passage that I see, and it's talking about honesty or purity in the church. For any church to be an active and growing church, and I'm talking not just numerical growth, but spiritual growth, because I believe you really need spiritual growth to make numerical growth happen, growth that's long-lasting. But for a church to be an active, growing church, there's got to be close fellowship and unity with each other. If a church is to remain in close fellowship and unity with each other, then it's vital that we are a pure church. And hopefully as I go along this morning, you'll understand more of what I mean by a pure church. But part of being a pure church is that we're honest with each other. We're honest, we're truthful with each other, we're faithful to each other, and that builds the church closer and tighter in unity and a bond, a close bond that we have with each other. Now, there was an incident in the early days of the church that we can learn by, because it not only damaged the church, what happened here with Ananias and Sapphira, that's who we're talking about, but that incident not only damaged the church, but it put a stench out in the community as well. Because what happens, bad things that can happen inside a church go out in the community, do they not? They just do. And so that's what happened here with Ananias and Sapphira. So let's look at beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5 of the book of Acts. It says, "But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge," it's important that we latch on to that, "he kept back for himself some of the proceeds, and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?'" I want to pause there just a moment. The problem is that Ananias told the church that he was bringing all of the proceeds in when he only brought part of it. Now, why has Satan filled your heart? Well, we all know that Satan is a liar to begin with, right? He is a born liar. He lies to us all the time. He tries to deceive us. But it's not so much that Satan lied here to Ananias, but the real question is, Ananias, why did you lie? Why did you lie? Let's go ahead. Verse 4. "While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." Have you ever thought that lying to the church is lying to God? You ever thought about that? I thought about that when I read that. Verse 5 says, when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. That means he died, in case you didn't catch that. "And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.' And she said, 'Yes, for so much.' But Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together?'" Notice that, husband and wife, you've agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord. "Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. So there's some things I want us to consider from this passage this morning. The first thing is the sham that damaged the church. The sham that damaged the church. Back in the latter part of chapter 4, the scripture speaks about how the members of the church took care of the needs of the church. That's what we do. Back then, they sold possessions that they had and brought the money into the church that everyone in the church would be cared for. Back in chapter 4, with verse 34, it says, "There was not a needy person among them, among the church. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." Now also in chapter 4, there was a man named Barnabas who owned a tract of land. He sold it and brought the money into the apostles or into the church. Several people evidently were doing this. They did that to help the church get started. And they also helped for those who had converted to Christianity out of Judaism, because those people were ostracized for becoming part of the church. In other words, when they became part of the church, they lost everything. And so the people in the church helped them to get started again, to provide for the needs, to replace some of the things that they had lost now that they were following Christ and had lost everything. There's still some of those in the world today, by the way, that decide to follow Christ, and as a result, their family disowns them. They lose their inheritance. They lose their livelihood and everything in order to follow Christ. And sometimes it's such a bother for us to follow Christ, isn't it? And nobody's going to take our stuff for following Christ. We might lose a friend or two, but it's a friend that we probably didn't need to start with, right? But it's so much easier for us to follow Christ, and we take it for granted so much, and then there's people in the world that would follow Christ and lose everything that they've got. That's quite amazing. Following Christ comes with a sacrifice, but the rewards are eternal, right? The rewards are eternal. Well, this couple named Ananias and Sapphira, they saw this going on. They wanted to be part of the action, you might say. Notice verse 1 said, "But a man named Ananias." The word "but" there shows a contrast between what Barnabas had done properly in chapter 4 and what Ananias had done improperly in chapter 5. Barnabas sold his property. It said he brought all of the proceeds to the church. Ananias sold his property and kept back a part of the proceeds for himself. Now, was this a sin? You're saying, well, who sinned here? Who did the right thing? Who did the wrong thing? Well, it's not a sin of what these men did, whether they brought all of their possessions or some of their possessions. There was no requirement that anyone sell any of their possessions and bring to the church. But the fact of the matter is, there was deception going on here. And deception is a sin. Ananias and Sapphira gave everyone the impression that they were going to do the same thing that Barnabas had done and the others had done. They gave the impression that they had some land to sell and that they were going to bring all of the proceeds into the church. But the sin is that they lied about it. There was deception and lying, and that's a sin. And Ananias brought his wife in on the deception. Verse 2 said that he did this with his wife's full knowledge, keeping part of the proceeds for himself, bringing a portion of the proceeds and laying it at the apostles' feet. Well, what in the world were they thinking, right? What were they thinking? Were they trying to draw attention to themselves? Some people like to do that, don't they? Draw attention to themselves. Did they want to make themselves look good? They didn't want to give nothing, so wanting to look like the ones who gave everything, they gave something, right? That makes sense. Or did they just want to wait till everyone had exhausted all of their property and goods and then sweep in at the last minute and sell their stuff and give money, save the day? What was it? What were they thinking? No matter what they were thinking, God was not pleased, was he? God was well aware of what they were scheming to do. At the moment that it entered their minds, greed was part of it. Ananias just couldn't give all the money that he said he was going to give. We should never say that we're going to do something and then not do it, right? That's true in all walks of life, is it not? We should not say that we're going to do something and then not do it. We should not make promises that we can't keep, right? That should just be standard for us, right? We do what we say we're going to do. We certainly should not make promises to God or promises to the church and then not keep them, right? It's all this thing about honesty and truthfulness and faithfulness. It could cause great damage to the church, which could cause damage in the community. Now there's a second thing here. The discovery that saved the church. The discovery that saved the church. Notice verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? Where did this deception come from? This lie come from? Who placed it in the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira? Well, it wasn't God, was it? It was Satan. Satan filled Ananias' heart with a lie. Since it was Satan, did Ananias have a choice as to what he should do with that lie? Of course he did. Satan can still speak a lie into your heart, but you've still got the choice of whether or not you act on it or how you act on it, correct? As a believer, a born-again Christian, you don't have to follow through on sin. You have a choice to act on it or not to act on it. When you choose not to act on it, then the Holy Spirit of God will give you the power that you need to refrain. But you and I've got to decide what we're going to do with it, right? The choice is ours. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, they chose the lie that was inspired by Satan. They not only lied to Peter and the church, more seriously, they lied to God. It was not only a case of deceit on the church, but it was an affront to the community, and worse, it was an affront to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit of God. Now there's a third thing that we see that God did, the cleansing that God gave his church. Peter confronted Ananias first, caught in the lie. God took him out. Later, Sapphira came in, agreed with the lie, and God took her out. You might ask, well, wasn't that kind of harsh of God to do that? Wasn't that kind of strong for God to do that? I'm going to tell you, as I'm reading through the Bible this year, I've just read through Leviticus and most of Numbers, those two Old Testament books. And if you think God is harsh, you read those books and you'll see how harsh God can be. By the way, reading those books will make you so thankful for Jesus, I'm telling you. But was it harsh what he did to Ananias and Sapphira? Well, this lie was so blatant and showed so much disregard for God's holiness that it was dealt with immediately before it made an impact on the church. I've heard of these things before, and I've seen these things happen. Someone does something in the church that is going to cause or has caused damage in the church, and God took them out. God is full well capable of doing that, and it can be explained what was natural causes or whatever, but look at the timing of this thing. Someone, for instance, that I knew about, he spearheaded a mob of ungodly people in the church and ran off the preacher who was being faithful, and it wasn't very long at all till that person got gravely sick and ended up in a wheelchair. You say, well, he just had problems. Yeah, he had problems, all right. More problems than he realized. They were causing so much trouble for God's people and in God's church that God just removed them from the fellowship. Is it extreme? Yeah, it's extreme, but it happened to Ananias and Sapphira, and it can happen in the church today, and it does happen many times. Well, as a result, the church was purified. Again, there in verse 11, it says, "And great fear came over the whole church and over all those who heard of these things." Great fear. Now, we talk about the fear of God many times, and I tell you, preachers included, water it down a lot and say, well, the fear of God, that's just to have a reverence for God and to be respectful for God. And those things are true. But there are times when you just flat need to be afraid of God, right? Afraid of Him. And the word fear in verse 11, great fear, means that those folks were afraid of God. I think I would be too. Ananias and Sapphira, the minute the sin was pointed out to them, dropped dead in their tracks. The church saw what happened. They knew why it happened. And so it caused great fear on the whole church. They were afraid of God. Wouldn't that really make you want to size up things in your life if you've seen that happen in the church? I think maybe it needs to happen in more churches today. Don't you? In preacher circles, there's always the thing, there's always the saying that says, any church can be straightened out, or there's no church too far gone that a few funerals wouldn't fix. That's a little comical to us, right? But it's true. It's true, it's true, it's true. Whenever there's folks that are causing trouble in the church of God and preventing the church from moving forward with God's plans, sometimes there might need to be a few funerals. Now, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I sure wouldn't do that. But that's up to God, right? It's up to God. Whether He might want to take me out, I don't know. It's up to Him. But these folks saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. This type of fear, by the way, is very healthy for us. To sometimes be afraid of what God might do. It's healthy for us because it keeps us from deliberate and intentional sin. Because there's some sin that we participate in that we've already decided it's okay to do, or it's okay to have this or that in our home, it's okay to watch this or watch that. We've gotten kind of callous to it and so forth. But we need to back up a little bit. Is what I'm doing, is that really all right with God to do? We need to be more afraid of God, I believe, sometimes. Fear is a healthy response to the judgments on sin by a holy God. Amen. Well, what can we learn from this? What can we learn? First off, that Satan uses strategies and schemes in his attacks on the people of God. Satan is always scheming to see what he can do to mess up your life if you're living for Christ, right? We don't need to be naive to think that Satan is not plotting ways to destroy the work of God by dividing, disgracing, discouraging the people of God. Listen, I didn't come to this church just to stand here and preach every Sunday. I came to this church because I felt that this is where God wanted me to be. Where I was before, I'd been there a long time and nothing happening. And he decided that he moved me. And I wasn't looking for a church. Bill can tell you that when he called me that night. It just completely out of the blue, Bill Rutledge called me. And I wasn't looking for a church. But I didn't come here just to fill a position. I come here just because, first off, I felt like God was leading me here, but not just leading me here to do the same thing as I was doing. Because, and see, what I'm saying is, there's some excitement and some new energy here. Now, I'm not talking about because I came. I'm just saying God is doing something here in our midst. And we've made some great plans of what we're going to do this year. We're talking about having the picnic again. And we're talking about having a great vacation Bible school in June. I've got Dr. Wayne Van Horn will probably come in April sometime and spend a weekend with us and do a little Bible study and some things like that. Revival planned again for October. I mean, we're not just sitting still. We're making plans. We're moving forward. We're doing these things. But listen, don't think that Satan doesn't want to interrupt these plans or doesn't want to stop things going forward. That's exactly what he wants to do. And so we need to be aware of that Satan schemes. Say amen. Amen. Yeah, I mean, amen to the church going forward, right? I don't want this church to be an old, dead Baptist church that's in so many dead towns and everywhere else. Do you? Nah, I'm sick of it. I want something to happen. And so it's up to us and our faithfulness and to God, right, to make it happen and do what we should be doing. I got off on the soapbox here, I guess. Y'all need to hear from the soapbox sometimes, don't you? That's right, preacher. Here's the second thing that we can learn from Ananias and Sapphira. Sin's serious, isn't it? That's not a game. It's not some game. It's serious business. And you say, well, didn't Christ take care of my sin on the cross and I trusted him as my Savior? Yes, he did. Amen. Yes, he did. But sin's still serious. It's still serious. While the fate of Ananias and Sapphira may seem extreme to us, it should remind us vividly that God hates sin and God's going to deal with it sometimes in an extreme way. That ever-deepening fellowship, this is another thing we can learn, that ever deepening fellowship and purity are vital to church growth. That's another thing we can learn. It's a good thing that's on that screen so they could read it and understand maybe what I just said. The early church experienced both quality and quantity growth. Quality in that they grew spiritually. Quantity as a result of that, right? Both were seen in the early church, and both should be seen now, right? So what about us? What about us? What is it about me and you that would keep us from being used by God to expand His kingdom? What is there about us personally, that would keep God from using us? What impurity might there be in your life and mine that needs to be dealt with before we reach the position of Ananias and Sapphira and God has to deal with us? We need to be like Barney 5 and nip it in the bud, right? When you realize it's bad, nip it in the bud before God nips it. Listen, you don't want God to nip it, right? God steps in and nip it, it won't be funny. So let's get rid of sin that may be a secret to others, but it's not a secret to God, right? There's no sin that's secret to God. We can't hide anything from God. Not one thing can we hide from God. So may God help us to be faithful and truthful and honest, grow spiritually so we can grow numerically, and let's just do something great for God, right? Listen to Him, learn from the mistakes. Listen, God put that account of Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible for a reason. It's for us today. It's to teach us what has happened and what could happen. If we're going to follow Jesus, let's follow Him, right? Let's get up off of it and go with Him, right? Follow Him. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for all that You do for us, Lord. Help us to be faithful, honest, and true. True followers of Christ, and learn from the examples that You've given us in Scripture. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.